Here's Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
Offertory scripture this morning. Make his path straight, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we ponder that scripture this morning and we think about Christ's ministry on the earth, as we celebrate his birth today, Lord, we ask this morning that these offerings, Lord, that we take up would be to your glory, to further your kingdom here on earth as we serve you. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen.
Good morning. I'm here to do this responsive reading this morning, which I'm really hoping is going to be on the screen because it's not up here on the podium. All right. I will read the non-bolded, and then the latter half will be bolded, and we'll read that together. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, please stand. Let's sing Exult in the Savior's Birth.
Shepherds watch their flocks at night, attending lowly sheep. Now within a cattle shed, a much stranger watch they keep. Today a Savior has been born, and He is Christ the Lord. Placed within a humble trough, this baby must be adored. Pagan wise men from the east seek out the infant king. Trackless miles behind them lie, and now all their reverence spring. They have come to worship Him with spices and with gold. Countless millions seek Him still, whose advent was long foretold. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He shall reign in righteousness, this counselor king from heaven. The government shall rest on Him. He is the mighty God. Next slide. Those on whom His favor rests exult in the Savior's birth. Scriptures say that Mary's boy was born that He may die. Angel voices burst in praise, their harmony fills the skies. Sing glory in the highest heaven, sing gracious peace on earth. Those on whom His favor rests exult in the Savior's birth. Sing glory in the highest heaven, sing gracious peace on earth. Those on whom His favor rests exult in the Savior's birth.
He brings them good news. He says, fear not. And he announces to them that the birth of Jesus Christ. Then, with that angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts come together and they proclaim these words, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And then the angels went away. By the way, I wonder what it was like. I wonder what it was like to be with these shepherds, to be there, to see the radiant glory of God that was shining so brightly around them, this multitude of angels singing and praising God. Well, the shepherds understood that certainly the Lord had just revealed something marvelous to them, so they decide to travel to Bethlehem to find the baby who is the Lord Jesus Christ. They arrive in Bethlehem, and just like the angels had said, there's the baby in between Mary and Joseph lying in a manger. Here he was, the Son of God in human flesh, the Son of God as a baby, the Savior of the world as a little infant lying in a manger. The shepherds would eventually return, and our text ends by saying they glorified and praised God for all they had heard and seen. My prayer for this morning is that the Lord, like he did to the shepherds, would reveal to us marvelous things. What I want to do this morning is look closely at the announcement and the proclamation of the angels in this text. So we can't cover everything that's here in Luke 2, 8 through 21, but I do want to look at what the angels proclaimed and announced to these shepherds. And I think what we see is that the angels tell us three things about the birth of Jesus Christ. They tell us that Jesus Christ, number one, his birth is good news of great joy. Number two, Jesus Christ's birth glorifies God. And number three, Jesus Christ's birth means there's peace. Let's briefly consider each one of these. So number one, the angels tell us that Jesus Christ's birth is good news of great joy. So verses 9 to 11, look there, verses 9 to 11. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Well, understandably, the shepherds are afraid when this angel suddenly appears to them and the glory of the Lord is shining around them. But this angel, he doesn't announce bad news, does he? No, he says to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I'm bringing you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Fear not, shepherds. Why? Why don't they need to be afraid in this moment, this angel before them and God's glory shining around them? Why don't they need to be afraid? Because there's good news. There's good news, the angels say. Good news of great joy. Brothers and sisters, the message of the angels to the shepherds is the same message that God continually gives to his people throughout the whole Bible. And it's the message that he's giving to us even this morning. Fear not. Fear not, First Baptist Church of Perryville. And ultimately, as we'll see, it's not just an angel that we don't need to be afraid of. God announces to all his people in the birth of Jesus Christ, you don't need to be afraid of death anymore. You don't need to be afraid of sin anymore. You don't need to be afraid of Satan anymore. You don't need to be afraid of me anymore, God says. There's good news. There's good news of great joy. Okay, so we ask, what is this good news of great joy? And we get the answer in verse 11, don't we? Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's the good news. And that's why there's great joy among all of God's people. A Savior has been born to us, who is Christ the Lord. You'll notice the angels give to Jesus there three titles in verse 11. Three titles the angels give to Jesus. I want to just look at them briefly in reverse order. So number one, they call him Lord. In verse 11, you see that a Savior has been born who is Christ the Lord. Lord. What does it mean that this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, is the Lord? Most foundationally, it means that he's God. He's God. Make no mistake, brothers and sisters, this baby is God incarnate, the Son of God in human flesh, incarnate deity, God among us. And as God, he is creator, ruler, governor, director, and sustainer of all things in heaven and on earth. He is the Lord. Did you know this about Jesus? He's not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a really nice man, sort of like Santa Claus who goes around and just gives out good gifts. He is God, to whom we owe all love, worship, obedience, and honor forever and ever. Amen. Of course, because of his redemptive work, Jesus is Lord of his people in a particular way, isn't he? The Father has given to Jesus, our Lord, a people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, a people that he has purchased with his own blood and transferred into his kingdom, a people that he now rules over with goodness, kindness, justice, and grace, a people that now gladly receive and submit to him as their God, King, Head, and Ruler. That's the church. By the way, that's us, First Baptist Church of Perryville. We are his people. He is our Lord. So I ask here, are we submitted to him as our Lord? Are we walking in obedience to this Christ who is Lord? May it be so. So yes, he is Lord of his people, and we submit to him as such. But be sure of this. He is Lord over all. He is God over all. That's what's in view here. And even though right now he has real enemies who reject him and try to push off his lordship, the scriptures are clear of this thing. One day, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So I want you to feel the weight of this. No matter who you are in here, Christian or non-Christian, you will bow the knee. You will. He is Lord. And those words will leave your lips at some point in time. They will. He is Lord. He is God Most High, whose reign cannot be thwarted, and who works out his perfect plan immutably. He's the Lord. Number two, the angels call him Christ. You see that there in verse 11? They call him Christ. Jesus is the Christ. The word Christ literally means anointed or chosen one. It's the Greek equivalent of a Hebrew word you're very familiar with, Messiah. When the New Testament calls Jesus the Christ, they're saying he's the Old Testament Messiah. Jesus is the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. There are hundreds of passages in the Old Testament that promise this one to come, this Messiah who would rescue God's people, defeat all their enemies, and rule over them forever and ever. And the angels declared to the shepherds And to us this morning, Jesus is this Messiah. And everything that God has promised are thus fulfilled and will be fulfilled in him. He is the Christ. Thirdly, you see that the angels call him Savior. Savior, verse 11. He is the Savior. And what good news is this to sinners? He's the Savior. 1 Timothy 1:15, we considered this text last night. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Brothers and sisters, this Jesus Christ is our Savior. Through his life, through his death, through his resurrection, he has saved us from sin, saved us from the curse of the law, saved us from Satan, saved us from death, and most of all, he has saved us from God himself. You see, that's ultimately the thing we need to be rescued from. God saves sinners ultimately from himself. In sin, it's his wrath that we're under. It's his judgment that we're facing. But Christ has saved us from that judgment, saved us from God's wrath coming down upon us over our sin. Jesus Christ is the Savior. So this is the good news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. However, notice, the angel said, I've got good news for you of great joy. Did you see that? It's good news of great joy. Not just good news, but good news of great joy. Great joy. Why? Why such great joy? Because of who this Jesus is and because of what he's done and what that means for all of God's people. Please hear this, beloved. There is joy unspeakable for everyone who receives this Jesus by faith. Joy unspeakable. Joy because he's the Lord and because he's the Christ. And because he's the Savior, joy because he forgives all of our sins. Joy because he reconciles us to God. Joy because he brings us into the family of God. Joy because we get to be in fellowship with the living God now. Joy because we have Christ as our treasure. Joy because he gives us eternal life. Joy because he's leading, guiding, protecting, and keeping us all our days. Joy because we're in the kingdom now. Joy because he is coming back and his kingdom will stretch across the whole earth. Joy because we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's good news of great joy for all those who are in Christ. How many of you came in here this morning longing to be happy? You so desperately want the longings of your soul to be quenched. You want something real, lasting. And you haven't found it in material things. You opened up a bunch of gifts this morning, and they're great. But that awesome feeling will wear off before the new year even comes upon you. That career, that college, that relationship, whatever you're finding your identity in, it's not doing it. It's not satisfying you. You want joy. You want happiness. And you groan. You groan for that. My friend, the angels tell us there's great joy in Jesus Christ. Receive Jesus Christ by faith, and you will receive joy. Drink from the fountain of life. Drink from Christ, and you'll be happy. And the joy that Christ gives, it's eternal. It will spring up in your heart all your days in this life, and it will burst forth in perfection in the life to come. There's joy, there's happiness, there's satisfaction in knowing this Christ. There is good news of great joy, church. Unto us a Savior has been born, who is Christ Jesus the Lord. Let's now see something else the angels say about this birth of Jesus, and this will be a quicker point. Number two, the angels tell us that Jesus Christ's birth glorifies God. Jesus Christ's birth glorifies God. Notice with me verses 12 to 13. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So because of the birth of Jesus Christ, the angels say, glory to God in the highest. So Jesus is born, and the angels say he's born, and that means this, glory to God in the highest. And I want to ask, what does that mean? What does that mean? Are the angels asking or requesting that the shepherds and others give glory to God because of what has happened? No, I don't think so. The angels are stating a fact. They're not requesting anything. They're not asking anything. They are speaking reality. God is and he will be glorified because of this baby. Everything that Christ is and everything that Christ has done and everything that Christ will do glorifies God. In fact, God's glory blazes most brightly through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, everything that God does, everything that he does is for this end, his own glory. His own glory. He sent Jesus Christ into the world. Why? His own glory. To which you might say, "Well, Sam, I thought Christ came to save sinners." And you're right, he did. That's true. And in the salvation of sinners, who gets glory forever and ever? God. In everything that Christ says, in everything that Christ reveals to us, in everything that Christ has done, who gets the praise? Who gets the glory? It's God. Forever and ever, we as God's people, most fittingly, will be praising him. We'll be singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." We'll be praising God who saves sinners. Thus, the birth of Jesus Christ means that God is seen to be most glorious amongst his people. So, we've seen number one, Jesus Christ's birth is good news of great joy. Number two, we've seen that Jesus Christ's birth glorifies God. The angels tell us one more thing about his birth. Number three, they tell us that Jesus Christ's birth means there's peace. There's peace. Notice verse 14 again, carefully. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So the angels say that Jesus Christ's birth means that there is peace among those with whom he is pleased. I think the first question, or the first thing we should notice, is that this peace is for who? Who is it for? The text says it's among those with whom he is pleased. Now, some of your translations might say, peace on earth towards men. But I think the best translation here is that this peace is for those with whom he is pleased. Okay, so we ask, who's that? Who are those people? Who's he pleased with? And the rest of Scripture weighs in on this and makes it very clear that this is his people. This is the church. This is you and I. This is everyone who's trusting in Christ, God's chosen and saved people, his church. So what's the point? The point is it's only those who are in Christ who have this peace. I'll say that again. It's only those who are in Christ who have this peace. Brothers and sisters, remember that in our sin we were enemies of God. And now, don't get the idea that we posed any kind of threat towards him. No, he could snap his finger and rid us from the face of the planet. But in our sin, we were rebels against him. We were enemies. His anger towards us in our sin burned hotter than 5 million suns. There was hostility between us. We were under his wrath. So we were not on good terms with God before Christ when we were in our sin. But then Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross, satisfying God's wrath as he took upon himself our sin, paying the penalty for that sin. Jesus Christ makes peace between God and his people by the blood of his cross. Are there any words that better capture this than Romans 5:1? Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. There it is. Peace with God. And that's the peace that matters. That's the peace that leads to peace in all other areas. Peace with God first and foremost. Because of what Christ has done on the cross, we now have peace with God. We're not his enemies. Our sin has been forgiven. Christ's righteousness imputed to us means we can enter his presence now. We are in his family now. We're no longer objects of his wrath, but objects of his love. He looks at us and he smiles now. We're no longer at war now. We are in love with him now. We're at peace with God now. In 1914, World War I was raging. Millions died during this war, one of the worst in history. On the Western Front, where the war was most devastating, Germany was on one side in the trenches, and on the other side in the trenches was France and England. These two sides were locked in heated conflict. That the sound of gunfire and explosions and screaming was continual. In between them was what was called no man's land, a scene of devastation and death. Indescribable. But something remarkable happened in December of 1914. For a time, the fighting stopped. There was a ceasefire. On December 25th, as the sun arose, there were no shots heard, no bombshells going off. There was only the sound of laughter and glee. And music and the voices of men singing carols. The two opposing forces even came out into the dreaded no man's land. And they exchanged gifts. And they played soccer. One German soldier wrote in his diary of this day. He says, the English brought a soccer ball from the trenches. And pretty soon a lively game ensued. How marvelously wonderful, yet how strange it was. The English officers felt the same way about it. Thus Christmas, the celebration of love, managed to bring mortal enemies together as friends for a time. Christmas brought mortal enemies together as friends for a time. That's breathtaking. Brothers and sisters, I want you to see at the most profound level, truly, Christ's birth was God's plan to bring mortal enemies together. And not just for a time, but forever. God's plan in Christ was to bring mortal enemies together, namely himself and his sinful people. God and sinners reconciled. That's what we sing at Christmas time. God and his people brought together in peace now because of Christ. Christ comes onto the scene and he declares who to all who will receive him, to everyone in here, peace, peace. God and his people are no longer at war. From the cross, it's as if Christ shouts out to all of God's people and to God himself, cease fire, cease fire. There's peace now. Because of Christ, there's salvation now. There's love now. There's peace now. And now that we have peace with God, we have true peace in our hearts, don't we? That the peace with God leads to the peace with self. What I mean is this: how does one get rid of that guilt that keeps knocking on the door of the conscience? How does one get rid of that anxiety that seems to find the innermost chamber of your hearts? How does one get rid of fear of death, fear of facing God on judgment day? What hope is there? How can we truly be at rest? How can we truly lay down at night and know that everything's okay? Everything's okay. How does that happen? Trust in Jesus Christ, the peacemaker, the mediator between God and man. In him, guilt is no longer a welcome guest in our hearts. In him, anxiety gets kicked to the curb and replaced by the peace of God that passes all understanding. In him, we can truly sing, it is well with my soul. Why? Because in him, there's peace between us and God. And if we have peace with God, the whole world could be crumbling around us. And it doesn't matter. Who cares? Because we're on good terms with God. And if we're on good terms with God, we are his and he is ours. We're going to be safe in his arms forever. We're going to live forever with him. That's peace. Praise God. That's peace. And by the way, one day this peace that exists now between God and us, the peace that we have as the church, it will one day be universal, total, and perfect. Colossians 1:20 says that through Christ, God has reconciled all things to himself, making peace by the blood of his cross. Do you see that? Christ's work on the cross has accomplished a universal and perfect peace that is soon to come. One day, when Christ returns, he will get all his people. He will crush all his enemies. He'll rid the earth of all his foes. And he'll banish death and sin forever. There will be a new world, a sinless and perfect world. And he'll give us sinless and perfect bodies. And a perfect blanket of peace will cover the entire world. This is why the Old Testament prophesies that this governor, this ruler, this king, there will be no end to the peace that he will bring. Perfect peace will reign in our hearts forever as we live with the Prince of Peace forever. And ever. This is good news. This is good news. But I must address the unbeliever for a moment in the wake of this good news. Friend, I'm glad you're here. we are glad you're here. Truly, that there's no better place. There's no better place for you to be than here this morning on Christmas. But I must ask you, why wouldn't you trust in Christ this morning? Why wouldn't you receive God's offer of peace in Jesus Christ? Friend, you don't have to stay in your guilt. You don't have to. You don't have to stay an enemy of God. You don't have to die. God, this very morning, offers you a peace treaty in Christ. Will you take it? All you have to do is take it by faith. Believe and trust in Jesus Christ, and you will have peace with God. Brothers and sisters, we should conclude. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born. And the angels speaking for God, they tell us that He is the Lord. He is Christ. He is the Savior. And His birth means that there is now peace. Peace between God and man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your gift of peace in Jesus Christ. We praise you and you alone, our God, for what you've done and for all that you've provided in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for your people, for those who belong to you in Christ. Open their eyes. Help them to taste and see this peace and how good and sweet it is. Peace with you. That's what we have. Lord, comfort your people with this peace. Lord, we come to you this morning. Give us the peace that passes all understanding, as you promise. Lord, for those who don't know you, pray you open their eyes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace. We put these things before you for your glory and in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's stand and we'll sing to this God who sent Jesus Christ, who gives us peace.
Joy has dawned upon the world, promise from creation. God's salvation now unfurled, hope for every nation. Not with fanfares from above, not with scenes of glory, but a humble gift of love, Jesus born of Mary. Sounds of wonder fill the sky with the songs of angels as the mighty Prince of Life shelters in a stable. Hands that set each star in place shape the earth in darkness. Cling now to a mother's breast, vulnerable and helpless. Shepherds bow before the Lamb, gazing at the glory. Gifts of men from distant lands prophesy the story. Gold, a king is born today. Incense, God is with us. Myrrh, his death will make a way. and by his blood he'll win us. Son of Adam, son of Ham, given as a ransom, reconciling God and man, Christ our mighty champion. What a Savior, what a friend, what a glorious mystery. Once a babe in Bethlehem, now the Lord of history.
Good to be together on the Lord's Day, on Christmas Day, looking at his word, singing his praises. It's always a joy to be gathered together as a church where our God meets us and speaks to us. I do want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and as I pray, we'll then be dismissed, okay? Father, thanks. Thanks for our church. Thanks for your day. Thanks for the many blessings that you've showered upon us in Christ. And not, Lord, not just in the many ways you meet our needs, but even, Lord, the abundance of riches that we've received in Christ. Lord, open our eyes to those wonderful things, even today, even as we leave this place, Lord. Lord, I pray that the word even now is working. We praise you, our God, our King, and our Savior. It's in Christ's name. Amen.